The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
It's 27 minutes past nine now. There is an intriguing documentary that you might have seen about a controversial yogi guru called Bikram Chowdhury. And he introduced his yoga practice, Bikram Yoga, in the States in the 1970s, which at its peak earned him millions and millions of dollars. And although he's dogged by controversy, he continues to teach, although this time outside of the United States, having left there. We'll explain that in a minute. But Kelly Doyle trained under Bikram in 2018, and she joins us now. Good morning,
Kelly.
Good
morning.
We were just intrigued because, as I say, the documentary had us all talking, and we'd heard of Bikram yoga. We know it. Sure. We've heard of yoga. And we just thought, seeing as you were in the room, we thought we'd bring you in to tell us a little bit about that. First of all, how does somebody decide I want yoga in my life of any description?
Well, for me, it started about 10 years ago. I knew there was something missing in my life.
Right.
I was going to the gym. I was running. I have a love-hate relationship with running. Everybody knows that at this stage. But there was something missing. And then I just happened upon yoga, to be honest with you. And I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
I hadn't practiced or anything. It was quite new into the world, into Ireland, you know, at that stage. So I was basically browsing the internet one evening, and I came across this yoga studio down in Clare, the Bourne Yoga Centre, and they were doing retreats. So I said, well, if I don't know anything about yoga, I'm going to submerge myself in it, and maybe for a weekend. So I ended up going down for 5 days. And Michael Ryan, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's a yoga teacher. He's a great Irish yoga teacher. He was down there, and of course, I knew nothing about the downward dog. I knew nothing. They were asking me to get into postures, and I was like, you want me to do what now?
Yeah.
So, and I was constantly being adjusted. I'd be in the posture, and I could hear him coming towards me. I go, oh God, not again. I'm doing this wrong. So anyway, that led to me. Once I came back from that weekend, I was hooked.
Yeah.
So I decided to take up yoga classes, and I went to the Crown Centre, it was called down, it's now Yago Yoga, and I took classes there. And then I decided, well, listen, I became very passionate about it because I could see what it was doing for me, how it was changing my life. I still had problems with meditation, like I'd be sitting there and me trying to meditate and, you know, God, did I take that out of the fridge? What am I going to have for dinner type of thing? You know,
okay.
That way all these thoughts are going through.
Yeah.
So I still struggle with that.
Okay.
But and then I decided, yeah, I wanted to teach. So I did a 200-hour Hatha yoga teacher training over a period of 2 years. It was once a month. You went and you spent the weekend there and you were immersed in a bubble.
Okay.
And it felt amazing. You know, and it slotted in with my life. It helped me in times of stress. I'd turn to it, I'd roll out my mat, you know, every evening, maybe in the morning times. And it was just a place for me to go.
You say 10 years ago, you obviously had stuff going on in your life. Was it?
Sure.
Was it difficult or?
Well, I suppose I'm separated 6 years. So I have 3 children. So I was juggling plates, you know, trying to keep everything going around. Separation obviously was difficult, you know, everything was unsettled. So I just needed a place to go.
Okay, so there was a lot of noise in your life.
Yes,
and
not a lot of
quiet for yourself.
Sure.
I don't know what age you are. Do you want to share that with us?
Sure, I'm 47.
47. Okay, so we're roughly pretty much the same age as me. So would you have had a typical Irish childhood in terms of mass on Sunday and, you know,
absolutely,
church in school and all the rest of it?
Yes, and we'd be sent to mass on Sundays and we wouldn't go and we'd get the pamphlet at the church and we'd
that
bring it
sort
home.
Of thing.
Yes.
Okay, you're probably wondering where I'm going with this, but
okay.
I'm just curious to know because I think that you reflect a lot of people in this country who might have tried to find an alternative to the church,
sure.
For example. Did you make a decision to say, I'm gone from religion, or did you drift from it? You know, was there a point in...
There was no definitive moment,
yeah.
I suppose, but it didn't have for me what I was looking for. You know, I didn't...
Like so many people.
Yes. So but I was missing something. I knew I was missing something.
So once upon a time, people would have gone to mass,
sure.
Or the priest or the nun or confession or
yes.
Whatever and said, this is where I need to go to unwind. And then something happened, as we could go into other reasons, but that's not what this interview is about,
sure.
Or conversation is about. Then people say, what else is there? And you found yoga.
Yes.
Okay. And with that in mind, then you did all those lessons, and you started drifting into other realms of the yoga world? Is that how would you describe it, that you moved into, like, for example, the Bikram world?
Right.
Where did that come from?
So I was practicing normal Hatha yoga for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine suggested, listen, I went to Bikram yoga. I hadn't heard of Bikram yoga at the time. So she was up and explained to me exactly what it was. It was in a heated room, you know. It's similar. It's Hatha postures. Like, it's not, the postures aren't anything new.
Okay.
So I decided to go along this particular evening, and this particular friend couldn't make it. So I toddled on into the room and got set up, didn't know what to expect. Could feel the heat and go, no, that's okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I came out of the class and I said, what has she put me through? What is this? What have I just gone through? Now, I live in Blanchardstown. My studio is very close to where I live.
Yes.
I got into the car and I'd be very familiar with where I live. But I went around about three times because I was so disorientated. I was just completely...
How many of you are in this room with the heat?
I'd say that on that particular evening there was about 22.
And is the room small enough?
You'd be comfortable enough. Like, you'd have enough space between the mats, you know, that type of way. Now I feel the more in the room, the better, because the energy goes up, you know, the more people that's in the room.
What's the point of the heat? It sounds like a torture chamber. So tell me, Kelly, why would you put yourself through this?
Bikram would call it a torture chamber.
Yeah,
all right. Because the heat basically allows you to get deeper into the postures without injury.
You're more supple, is
that
it?
You're more supple, yeah. Okay. It's like, how would you say, working with metal and you're heating it up.
Okay, yeah, that's a good analogy.
So it would be the same with your body. So without doing injury, you wouldn't be able to get as deeply into the postures if you didn't have the heat.
Okay.
And also the heat helps you detoxify. Like, you're sweating profusely. So you really do. You feel as though you've cleansed your body when you come out of it.
Andy Murray, the tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
I think David Beckham.
Sure.
And then down to Raquel Welch and all these
Madonna.
Famous. Madonna. All say that this guy, Bikram,
mm-hmm. Sure.
is the guy, or has been in the past.
Okay.
Who the hell is he?
Bikram Shiroi.
Yeah, tell me about him.
Well, he's from India, obviously. He claims that he was practicing yoga from a really young age. And he had his guru, who was Bishna Ghosh. And he used to go study with him. And apparently people from his village used to go to this guru, or his guru, when they had any ailments. And his guru would write a prescription, and that prescription would be a series of postures to help with whatever ailment that they had. So people were coming and coming and coming. And then Bikram would come and he'd help his particular guru in the studios.
Sure.
So he's seen all these people coming, and he decided, well, listen, we can't cope with the amount of people here. So his thinking was, what I'll do is I'll set up a school. I will eventually set up a school and I will teach people this sequence, these 26 postures and two breathing exercises. So then he left India and he went to the States and he set up his first studio in LA. So he drew a lot of attention from celebrities. It was this new craze that was going on.
Yeah.
Like, he speaks constantly about Shirley MacLaine, Nixon, you know, who he apparently has taught and helped. So, yeah, so then he decided he was going to open up a school and invite people over so they could learn how to teach the sequence.
And so it began.
I mean,
it was Bikram mania.
That's it.
And all the celebrities wanted a piece of this guy.
Sure.
People were happy to pay him, mm-hmm. you know, lots of money. And I'm not giving out about that. That's the market. That's what
yes.
you do.
Sure.
And his personality seems to have been a bit peculiar. But he claims to have taught yoga to the Beatles, to NASA astronauts and whatever. The Nixon Museum have come back, library have come back and said, we've no record of this at all. And equally, pretty much he said that he was a champion of yoga when he was a kid. No paper trail for that at all. So the documentary, which I'm sure you've seen.
I have.
It suggests that he's a spoof, mm-hmm. but a very talented spoofer. Probably brilliant at yoga, would that be fair to say?
Yes, but amazing. He knows his onions, as you would say, inside out. Like, he knows the body, you know, he does.
Okay, there's a sort of sordid twist in the tale. We'll get to just in just a moment. But let me ask you why you decided to go to him. To the man
himself. Source?
Yeah, the source, exactly.
Yes.
Tell me about that, Kelly.
Because he was the source, because I realised the benefits of Bikram yoga in doing it myself. Mm. I've seen other people, how it's changed their lives, not just sort of in emotionally, but also physically. Injuries, scoliosis, arthritis, like time and time again, I've seen it, I've witnessed it. So I wanted to go to the source, basically. And also it was a challenge because I was informed, like, this is no walk in the park. This is 9 weeks of you're going into it like a torture chamber.
How much did you have to save up to pay him?
Oh, 12,000.
A lot of money.
It was. I saved for about, I'd say hard for about 3 years, you know, there. And in the last year, my poor kids, there was no takeaways. You know, there was not, there's a very funny story actually, there was no underwear bought for me. I remember making the joke, listen, I haven't even, I can't afford to buy myself a pair of knickers now at this stage, right? And I got a good luck card from somebody and one of my students at the time who I was teaching, Mary, and in it was 20 euros and a little note going, now you can buy yourself a pair of knickers.
But how old were your kids at this time? Were they little or?
No, well, Jacob was little. Jacob is 8 now, so he was 6. Meg was 18 and then Sam was 15.
And were they saying, we are making sacrifices for you and your yoga classes? Or were they supportive, saying, we don't mind because this is your thing?
No, listen, when I first started yoga, it was they looked at me as if it was a phase that was going to, you know, just going to go off. It's like going to soccer, or, you know, a soccer match or, you know, every week or whatever. But it became such a big part of my life and they seen how I was with it. They see me practicing regularly. They supported me. You know, like my daughter was called in to babysit I don't know how many times, especially in the last year, because I had to attend more classes. Obviously, when I was going to training, I had to actually up my ante on that. So I got great support now, in fairness.
You saved your 12 grand.
Yes.
And you headed to what part of the world? United States?
Acapulco.
Mm-hmm. Because he, he had to be there for a particular reason because he was under suspicion of sexual issues.
Sure.
We'll get to that in a minute, but I really want to follow your story first and then we'll sidebar over there in a moment. But you saved your money, you're hard earned, and you headed over there. What was the nature of the regime in Acapulco with Bikram?
As in, what would be your normal
Monday
day?
Monday to Friday or Saturday,
so
or something?
So it would be Monday to Saturday.
Okay.
And you would get up at, say, 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier, and your first class would be at 8 o'clock, your first Bikram practice. So that would be for about 2 hours.
And what was the heat in the room degrees-wise?
Well, the first day we arrived, actually, we were in the room, and it was an afternoon, actually, class. The first class was an afternoon class, and it was with Bikram. And it was very funny because he used to have, he has the podium, and then he has his chair, his little couch.
His throne.
His right, yes.
Yeah,
and
like
then if he was going to be teaching, it would be covered with this orange cover. So you know that he was teaching. We found this out later. We weren't aware of that at the time. So we were standing in class, and the heat was absolutely immense. It was like no heat I had ever, ever experienced before. And I'm standing there going, I'm not going to be able to survive 9 weeks in this. And you could see people dropping. People were collapsing. There were buckets down the back of the room with plastic bags in them. There were vomit buckets, we were told. So when you need to get sick, you could go there, but you don't leave the room. So I was like, what have I signed myself up for? So he walks in and anyway, in his grandeur, and he's...
Now, we have to explain his grandeur. He has a penchant for little tiny Speedos, and he's 70 plus, and he walks around with his ponytail and the Speedos, and I have to say that if... Anyway, that's I shouldn't be.
Look,
that's if that's what he does. That's
thing.
What and that's his look.
That's his thing. Yeah.
And would any part of you think
it's unique to him?
Know if he's not my bag now, or
absolutely, absolutely. Like if he was a bar of chocolate, he'd eat himself. Like he loves himself that much. Like, but you're looking and you're going, no, come on.
But because he's so good at what he does, you have to see through that.
He's very unique. You know, he really is. That's the kindest probably word I could come up with. He's very unique, and he would get away with it. You know.
So what's he doing on his throne with the? He's got air conditioning. He's the only one who gets the heat. The cold air on his back.
Yes.
Which is kind of odd, but he's the teacher. Maybe he's entitled to the special rules. Is he shouting at you? I found him quite profane and.
Yes, he can
difficult.
Be. He can be. He can be quite humorous. There were 75 in my training. He's had bigger. He's had 300, 400, 500 people in the room and he'd be training them. And he'd be talking you through the postures. He'd be bringing you through each of the postures. But no matter where you are in the room, like the moment you walk into his class, you know you're on and you cannot, you know, there's no hiding from him. If you do something wrong, he will find you.
Were you ever singled out?
Oh, yes.
What happened?
For doing posture, not doing the posture the correct way, and you know, Blondie, and he used to call me the Marine Corps mum.
The Marine Corps mum. Why? Yes.
Because in the first 2 weeks, you have to deliver a dialogue of one posture in front of him. So I was delivering this posture and he asked me, was I in the Marine Corps? And I said, no. He said, do you have children? And I said, yes, I do. Oh, God, love them, he said. He said, you're a Marine Corps mum. And my delivery was quite strong and it was quite... so that's how
was
I
he complimenting you there? So I'm confused.
In some way, okay, yes. Yeah, yeah. In some way.
Okay, I just don't
way.
Know. I don't yes. know yogi flirting. So, yeah, no. I, don't, so no. I don't understand.
No. He definitely wasn't flirting
there.
With me. No.
Because that was one of his things was he flirted with the women in the course and that is not what got him in trouble,
yes.
ultimately, that yes. he said to one of the women, you know, after the class, where are we going with sure. this? And she's going, what are you talking about? And
this is in the documentary.
In the documentary.
Yes.
And wasn't he accused? Let's go there for a moment.
Sure.
He was accused of rape, I think,
accused.
At some
yes,
stage.
Yes,
and,
yes.
So did you find there was any of that
I didn't,
in
no.
the air? No.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I found that he has no filter. He doesn't filter anything that he says. He can be quite insulting to people, which was very uncomfortable to witness. You know, if people were overweight sometimes, he would call them out on it. He would call them fatty. He would curse from the podium as well.
Why was week five known to some people as sex week? Did you ever hear of that expression?
No, because by the time I got to week five, Ryan, sex was the last thing on my mind.
Really?
I was broken come week five.
And
yeah.
Did he at any point have physical contact with you? And I don't mean that in a peculiar sense,
sure.
but in the course of a yoga class.
Yeah, he would adjust. He would come down every now and again and he would make adjustments.
And did he stand on you at one point?
Yes, he did. That was during a lecture.
Yeah.
And it was like a Q&A thing. So we would ask about certain postures. And I was asking about this particular posture, camel, and a technique. And he caught me up and he asked me to do camel. He had a look at it to see what way I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I'd asked the question about compressing into the lower limbar, into the lower spine. And no, that's ridiculous. And you have to be quite brave to ask him a question
okay.
because, you know, he would take the knees from under you, basically, mm-hmm. you know, if, you know, it didn't suit him. So then I'd asked him this question and it irked him a bit. And he says, now for this, for your punishment. And it was tongue in cheek.
Okay.
I'm going to stand on you. So he did. But like, he's light. It's not, you
it
know,
wasn't like he was
goes,
trying
oh
to hurt you. Yeah.
No.
And
not at all.
In the yoga world, it's not an insane thing not. To imagine. I can think of somebody. Another former pupil said that the training took 9 weeks. It was part humiliation, part benediction. Did you feel that he was a kind of almost a quasi spiritual guru, or did you just see him as the
not
yoga
at all.
Guy?
And I wasn't looking for that from him.
Really?
No, I wasn't looking for that from him. He wouldn't be my guru. I wouldn't look up to him in a spiritual way at all whatsoever.
And did you know Kelly before you went out to Acapulco? About the sexual assault allegations?
There were rumours, yeah. I'd heard the rumours, but I didn't hear the details.
Okay. And did it give you any cause for concern?
For myself?
Well, to be even going to support or to go
no,
to classes
because,
with somebody with a
cloud. How I squared it off with myself
yeah,
was,
tell me about
yeah,
that.
Was that I separated the practice from the man. The practice worked, you know, the practice, I've seen exactly what it did. I know yeah. what it does for me. And that's how I squared it off with. It was the practice that I was in.
And you were, it reminds me of people who say, I won't listen to Michael Jackson's
yes,
music.
Yes, I've heard that, yeah.
But I feel that he might be guilty of something else that mm-hmm. that they squared that off too. And some other people will say, no, they're unsquareable.
I understand that. And that's their viewpoint. But
yeah.
mine was, I squared it off. I fell in love with the practice and I seen the benefits of it. And I separated the practice from the man.
So he fled the States
yes.
with an outstanding damages fee of $6.8 million. And
correct.
He went to kind of hide or in plain sight in Acapulco. And that's
seen.
Where you found him.
Yes.
And how many weeks did you stay there?
9 weeks, actually 10 weeks in total.
And what did you come away from that experience with? And I mean that practically and intellectually, emotionally.
Sure.
Tell me about that.
The 9 weeks, they were so challenging. You know, I don't think I could have prepared myself for it, although I thrived. I still wasn't aware exactly, you know. I remember phoning home and I was FaceTiming my yoga teacher, Amory, who... was an inspiration for me.
Yeah.
And I think it was week two. And she says, oh, you're still smiling. So it's still.
So you survived.
This is the week two, you know. Yeah. But come week five, as I said, I was broken. I stood in the middle of the studio, you know, where we trained, and the tears were running down my face. Your body is so sore because of the amount of training that you're doing. Like, it's so intense.
Yeah.
And I stood there going, I hate this practice. When I get home, I'm never doing this. But apparently that's the week five, week six, where you do hit the wall, you know. But then after that, you know, you're on the home front, you know, and yeah. I'd gone over there to get the certificate and I wasn't coming home without it. You know, I'd made sacrifices. My children had made sacrifices. You know, I missed my partner. I missed my children. And I said, well, I wasn't coming home without it. And I realised that, like, I was stronger. I had to dig deep, and I did, you know, really, really deep. So
do you give Bikram yoga classes now?
I would teach, in Kumain, in Bikram, Dublin 15. I haven't been teaching in a couple of months. I changed jobs, so everything was a little bit up in the air. So yeah. I'm hoping to get back to it fairly soon. Yeah.
And I noticed that some people internationally who've done the course and who have had Bikram, because the big thing is it's the brand,
sure.
and that's what sells.
Yeah.
But because of the documentary and the allegations and so on, they've taken his name off it.
I've seen that.
Would that be something you would consider doing under no circumstances?
No, it's the Bikram practice. And that's like you could say it's hot yoga. There's a difference between hot yoga and the Bikram sequence. You know, hot yoga, you can have any different types of postures. It won't be the same sequence, you know, as you go into every studio.
Yeah.
You go worldwide and you go to a Bikram class, it'll be the same 26 postures and 2 breathing exercises.
Wasn't there a bishop who said, am I right in saying, who said that yoga was replacing religion and that it's not a good thing? What do you make of that? Just to go back to the point earlier on, what do you think of it?
I laughed. Yeah, I really did. I
think a lot of people probably felt this in a similar way. Yes. What would you say, Kelly, finally, to people listening this morning who have never once in their life considered the prospect of buying a yoga mat or doing the downward dog or any other move? What would you say to them to suggest that this could change their life? I'd be curious to know that.
I would say that this sequence is called the beginner sequence.
Yeah.
And that to go with an open mind. You don't have to. It's not about getting the full expression of any posture, you know, but just go do what you can and just give it a try. As I said, the first time I took the class, I was blown away, but I was called back. And most people who practice Bikram for a period of time, they can go away, they can go to do other activities, they'll go to the gym or they'll go wherever else, or they'll try a different yoga practice, but they always come back.
There's your answer, isn't it?
They always come back.
Kelly, thanks for coming in and speaking so honestly about your experience with Bikram yoga, and I hope your practice goes really well.
Thank you.
Kelly, Yoga with Kelly is where people will find you on Facebook. And I hope life is good to you. Thanks for your time this morning.
And thank you.
At 11 minutes to 10.